This is Ray Christensen with On the Go. From now until 9 o'clock, we have something very special, something I consider one of the highlights of our 40-day coverage of the 40 years of WCCO radio history. We call it WCCO Radio Voices of the Past. Let's begin with the voice, the big voice on WCCO for many years, the late Cedric Adams. For those who have forgotten, Cedric died on February 18th, 1961, but the warmth of his voice, his genuine love for people, and that familiar Adams chuckle still live in many memories. Here's the voice once again of Cedric Adams, and the sound is also familiar, the sound of school closings on a stormy, wintry WCCO land night.
Good evening. Well, I certainly don't need a crystal ball to tell me that our younger generation is very well represented in the radio audience on this blustery winter evening, because with bad weather we have school closings. Something of interest to everybody who has to tote a book. I'm going to sound like a bus caller now, so watch out. We have quite a list of closed schools, and we might as well get right into that now. First, here are the schools in Minnesota that will be closed because of the bad weather. So listen carefully. Here we go. Woodlake Public School, Rockford Public School, Delano Public School, and St. Peter's Parochial, and the Lutheran School in Delano. The public and parochial schools in Melrose, the schools in Pine City, Becker, Monticello. No class play in Monticello either. Chisago City, Echo, Dassel, Big Lake. The Center City School in Lindstrom. Public schools in Cambridge, Isandy, Cokato, Holdingford, Hinckley. No class play there either. And schools in Little Falls, Rush City. No class play in Rush City. Oh, my. The high school in Isle, the elementary school in Waukon.
Yes, even while reading a list of school closings, something like reading the telephone directory, I guess, Cedric still imparted to you, the listener, his own brand of humor.
Bruno, Carrick, Princeton, Independent School District 106 in Stillwater, Powderhorn Park School in Minneapolis. No school or class play at Chisago City. How did we get into this class play gig? We also have a message from the superintendent.
And Cedric brought you the entire sweep of the changing news panorama in the Northwest for more than 25 years, through the Great Depression, the days of World War II, and on into the post-war years of recovery and expansion. Here's one of those many news stories you heard Cedric read to you in years gone by.
Dr. A. Arnold Axelrod, arrested in Toledo, Ohio, this morning, a few minutes after the Minnesota Supreme Court ordered him to begin serving his 5 to 20-year manslaughter sentence, will soon be in Stillwater Prison. He was to have been brought to the Twin Cities tonight, but bad weather forced cancellation of the flight on which he was going to travel. It's not known what plane Axelrod will be returned on, possibly one in the morning. The Supreme Court today refused to grant the former Minneapolis senator.
There was one thing about Cedric, a side of Cedric, that the public did not often see. Or perhaps you did hear Cedric stumble over a word, and then out came that torrent of uncontrollable laughter. Here at WCCO Radio, the uncontrollable Cedric, the laughing Cedric, was often on tape recording, and his breakups did not reach your ears. But here is one such incident. A Cedric Adams breakup as he was recording his morning almanac of the air.
Ah, oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, this is the... Almanac of the air for... oh, dear. For Monday, February 9th, 6:15 a.m. Why should we have days like this? Can't even see the copy here. something tells me we're going to have trouble.
Yes, that was Cedric Adams. And he enjoyed his life in radio. He enjoyed talking to people, and he loved every minute of it. Back in 1954, Cedric was the key figure in a 10th anniversary program in his honor. One of those who called and congratulated Cedric on that memorable occasion was the then governor of Minnesota, Luther W. Youngdahl.
Hello, Cedric.
Yes.
This is Governor Youngdahl. I'm sitting over here at the desk at the state capitol. It's pretty cold over here.
Well, it's not too warm here, Luther, either.
But I just wanted to take a couple of minutes, Cedric, to congratulate you on your great record. I understand you're celebrating your 10th anniversary Sunday night, coming to Tasty Bread program, and I want to tell you, I think you've had a great record of giving to the people objective news of the international, the national, state, and local events. And I think you've helped put me to sleep a lot of those nights. 10 o'clock programs.
Well, I thank you for your congratulations, yes, sir. Governor.
I think the public appreciates these programs, and I think it has a tremendous public interest, and I think the radio station and the company and yourself all are to be congratulated in the fine public service that you've rendered over these years, and we hope that you'll be broadcasting not only for 10 years, but many years to come.
Well, that's awfully nice of you. Say, Governor, while I've got you on now, you're a good Scandinavian. Tell me how I'm doing on my pronunciation of Svensk Limpa, will you?
Say, you know, Cedric, with your pronunciation of Limpa, you prevent a lot of us from becoming psychopathic because it gives us a good laugh every time you say Limpa. You seem to be getting a bigger kick out of it every time you say it.
Well, thank you very much,
yes,
Governor.
Sir. Okay, and
I hope that when you have had 10 years back of you over there, I'll be able to call you up.
All right, Cedric.
Thank you very much for calling.
Good luck to you.
That was Governor Luther Youngdahl congratulating Cedric Adams after 10 years of broadcasting his nighttime news for Tasty Bread. This is not the whole story of Cedric. That's a story that may be told in its entirety another time in another place. All over the Northwest, a vast reservoir of affection remains for Cedric. It's 17 and a half minutes past 8, 48 degrees. Before we go on to more famous voices from CCO land history, let's have a song. Remember the blind whistler Elmo Tanner? His big hit with the Ted Weems Orchestra was Heartaches. Heartaches, Elmo Tanner, the whistler, with Ted Weems and his orchestra. It's 20 and a half minutes past 8, 48 degrees. The days of the radio panel shows have passed, but there was a time when the radio panel production was a regular bill of fare. On CCO Radio, there were such programs as Quiz of the Twin Cities, and then there was Let's Get Together, a radio guessing game that featured such CCO personalities as Stu McPherson, and the late Gordon Eaton, and the late Ed Veman. Ralph Hertzgard was on the program, too, along with Max Winter of Minneapolis and Florence Lehman. Let's listen to Let's Get Together, as it was heard back in the late 40s.
All right. Moaning Mose is now looking and grumbling about, is there anything the matter, Mr. Veman?
No, I always...
Except that you didn't put yours on.
Yeah.
All right.
This is... you got any more of them little gems?
You could use it. Mrs. L Street, 1442 Payne Avenue, St. Paul, says, this is no laughing matter.
The amusement tax.
This is no laughing matter.
Is this a real object?
Well, it all depends. Yes, it is. It's real.
Is this an affliction?
Some people think it is, but it's not.
Well, I mean like a crazy bone or something.
No, 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 it's not.
Can you buy this in a store?
You don't buy this.
Do you acquire it?
You don't acquire it.
How do you get it?
You get it, brother. Well, you don't particularly, or I don't, but...
Do I?
We're all connected with it indirectly.
Do people point at it?
No. No, they don't. Yeah.
I'd like to be inside his mind.
he inside Winter.
Does it hang from the ceiling?
Oh, no.
Is it crouched in the corner?
No. Your time is slipping
by. No, time out for that.
No, no.
This is no laughing matter, fellas.
Apparently it is to you.
Is this a person?
It is not a person.
Is it a thing?
Yes.
And it's not manufactured?
It's not manufactured.
Is it grown?
It's not grown.
It's not a something that's characteristic of it. You couldn't describe a person as having it.
No, no, you don't have it.
Do you talk about it?
Some people have been known to talk about it. You, of all the four over there, Winter would probably talk about this more than anybody.
Is it connected with sport?
Yes, quite often.
Can you see it?
In certain
sports. You can
see
the form of it. No, it's connected with all sports.
Is it in the audience part or in the participation part?
If it's not, well,
it's connected with the audience, but it's not as I thought you meant. It's connected with the audience.
Oh, is it a Bronx cheer?
No.
If it's not a laughing matter, is it something to be deplored or regretted?
It is regretted by those who are connected with it.
Is it a loser of any kind?
Is it what?
A losing of any type?
Well, there's a loss concern to some people as far as this is concerned.
Is it a mistake?
It's not a mistake. Well, a lot of people think it's a mistake.
Well, Stu, does it have anything to do with the competitors rather than the spectators?
No, it's more confined to the spectators.
You've
got 5 seconds. No, your time's up. You're close. It's amusement tax. Gordy.
And we have our first winner for tonight, Mrs. L. Street of 1442 Payne Avenue, St. Paul. Her prize is a beautiful one. I was afraid we wouldn't find out what it was. Part of the old CCO gang having fun on the program called Let's Get Together. Many of the voices of WCCO Radio were involved in news coverage over the years. Here are some of those voices. This particular occasion happens to be the Red River Valley flood of 1950. The scene was Crookston, Minnesota, and it was an all-out effort by WCCO. Here's the first voice, George Grimm.
Good evening. This is George Grimm. And this is a story about the floods in northwestern Minnesota and eastern North Dakota, where the rivers flowed northward to the cold ice packs of Hudson Bay. You'll hear the sound of the raging river, the shouts of men in an age-old battle with nature, the voices of men, women, and children faced suddenly with catastrophe. It's a story told by the people themselves, a story of quiet heroism and neighborly kindness, a story of democracy. 20 or more communities in the Red River system are threatened tonight with inundation. Many already are submerged. Icy water, laden with silt and debris, filling basements, swirling and tearing the foundations.
You've heard this next voice before. You heard him just a moment ago as part of our Let's Get Together panel show. Here he is again as he reported from the flood scene in Crookston 14 years ago.
This is Stuart McPherson reporting from the headquarters of the American Red Cross Disaster Committee. Well, I never thought that I would see shades of the London Blitz here in the heart of Minnesota. But the headquarters here resembles many, many scenes that I was familiar with during the Blitz in London, during the war. It is a picture of utter, what appears on the surface to be utter confusion, but believe me, out of confusion here is coming order, solace, and comfort. The scene is a quickly appropriated room that was taken over It was seconded by the American Red Cross. It's part of the Elks building here in Crookston in the heart of the business district. And it is a scene of rather weird-looking characters, all of whom have had added height given to them by wearing these sinister-looking hip boots. There's every form of rough outdoor clothing, every form of weird-looking headgear and so on. But these are boat crews, volunteers. It's the headquarters of all those who are volunteering and Army members who are helping people get out of their flooded homes. There are five telephones, all of them incoming only, in which calls are received and tabulated, and some of the types of bits of...
That was Stuart McPherson. Now a great commercial announcer and a fine all-round radio man, a voice you've heard many times on WCCO Radio, also reporting the Red River Valley flood, the famous Frank Butler.
We've moved behind the scenes now here at Red Cross headquarters in downtown Crookston. We're going to talk to some of the housewives who dropped their duties at home to come down here and do volunteer work in the kitchen. I'd like to have you meet some of them now. First of all, I'd like to talk with Mrs. Emma Burnell, who is busy dispensing coffee and donuts to the Company G men of the Minnesota National Guard who've been working night and day during this flood. How are you getting along, ma'am?
Very fine, thank you.
I suppose that you've been very, very busy.
Very
on this,
busy. They keep supplying coffee.
How many donuts have you given out? Do you have any estimate of it?
Oh, I have no estimate, but thousands of them, I'd say.
How long have you been working?
Since 9 this morning. And just come on.
You just came on duty, and how long will you be here then?
All day.
Now let's take a break during our Voices of WCCO Radio History. Those were reports on the Red River Valley flood of 1950. In 1950, this was a big song.
To the tables down at Maury's, to the place where Louis dwells, to the dear old temple bar we love so well. Sing the whipping folks assembled with their glasses raised on high, and the magic of their singing cast its spell.
Yes, the magic of their singing, of the songs we love so well. Shall I wasting them a morning and the rest?
We will serenade our Louis while life and voice shall last.
Then we'll pass and be forgotten with the rest. We're poor little lads who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba. We're little black sheep who have gone astray. Ba, ba, ba.
Gentlemen, songsters off on a spree, doomed from here to eternity. Lord, have mercy on such as we.
Crosby with the Fred Waring Glee Club and the Whiffin' Poof song. 48 degrees now at 8:30. These are WCCO Radio Voices of the Past from Minneapolis, St. Paul at 830 WCCO. We'll continue in a moment.
Like to dance? Try the twist. Like to drive? Try Total Performance 65 at your Ford dealers.
It's the the best year yet to see the man. Your Ford dealer, it's the best year to pay him a call. You'll have a ball when you see all those new Fords.
The best is here and all under one roof, your Ford dealers. The all-new 65 Ford LTD, most luxurious Ford ever built. The cool, exciting 65 Mustang 2+2 Fastback. The new Fairlane, most car a budget can buy. And the savingest Falcon yet.
It's the best year yet. Go see the man, your Ford dealer.
See the man with the newest Fords in 15 years. Discover why 65 is the best year yet to buy from your Ford dealer. At the half in football, Green Bay leads Detroit 14-3. The end of 5.5 innings in baseball, St. Louis leads Philadelphia 2-0. Many of you may be thinking now that it would be impossible to listen to the voices of CCO without including the dulcet tones of old what's-his-name, Bob DeHaven. He's been around so long now that you may know him by some of his aliases, the Star, Genial Bob, and so on and on. Anyway, old Bob broke into Twin Cities Radio back in 1934. And you know, I guess he finally did make a name for himself. If you have a good memory, you'll remember Bob's show called Friendly Time in the mid-40s. Here's how Bob DeHaven sounded in those days.
Well, good evening, everybody. Are you home tonight? Or are you over to Aunt Minnie's to see her quilting for the county fair? Are you holding your girl's hand? Well, if not, hold it. I have easy music such as Here Comes Heaven Again and Basin Street Blues by Fats Waller and Somebody's Rock and My Dreamboat. I won't tell you every tune because I'm sneaky that way. Billy Butterfield and Margaret Whiting have indicated their opening tune will be There Goes That Song Again. If I fade and stop talking, you'll hear it clean through.
Genial Bob DeHaven, still one of your good neighbors on CCO Radio as he gave his nighttime audience a good working over back in the 40s. One of the programs that grew to be so popular on WCCO Radio back in the early 30s was Tina and Tim, remember? Here's how it happened, and I quote former WCCO Radio manager Earl Gammons. The Crowell Collier Company started a program with us in the early 30s. They had a girl who was doing shopping for them. Her name was Peggy Beckmark. One night when we were out to dinner with her, she began telling us Swedish stories in dialect. She was so good that I talked her into writing a skit. She finally worked out Tina and Tim. They were the first local script act we had, and they were terrific. That's the quote. So here is an original Tina and Tim recording from the early 1930s, courtesy of Peggy Beckmark, the author of the series.
Down upon the Swan River, far, far away.
Presenting the great laugh sensation, Tina and Tim, transcribed for you by the makers of Malto Meal. Well, everything is serene and happy these days in the Hutchinson kitchen. Tina's quarrel with Tim and Inga has been patched up. Oscar the dog has been behaving himself, and Tina just doesn't seem to have any troubles at all. No doubt that accounts for the fact that as we look in on her today, she's singing.
No, 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 sweet mystery, at last have I passed on you. Ooh, at last. Oh, dropping from the eaves again, Buster. How many times did I have to tell you to rap on the door?
I'm sorry, Tina, but I didn't want to interrupt the song you were singing there. What was it?
Oh, did you think it was pretty?
Sure, fine. But I'm not sure I caught all the words.
Did you think my voice was better?
Well,
I met the singing teacher over to Inga's the other day, and she says the same thing about my voice as the other teacher did.
What was that?
She says if she was me, she would save it. Nothing funny about that, Tim. Tina, I guess I got unconnected on the phone. It was for you, too.
Oh, who was it?
It was that Mrs. Sherman.
Well, I'll call her back.
Yeah, you better do that. She wanted to talk with you.
Washington, 4538. Yes, please. Hello, Agnes? Well, this is Carolyn Hutchinson. Hello? Hello, Agnes? There must be something the matter with that line.
Must be. I got unconnecting, too. Why don't you try it again?
Well, I will. Operator, will you give me Washington, 4583? Hello, Agnes? There must be something wrong with the line. Hello? Well, that's funny. I could swear she slammed up the receiver.
Well, Mrs. Hutchinson, if she did, there was nothing to swear about.
I wonder.
Ladies didn't do things like that.
What, Tina?
I said if she did, it
Tina, just a minute, please.
Yeah?
It seems to me you were having quite a conversation with Mrs. Sherman when I came in.
Oh, yeah, we was talking.
And you were disconnected?
Yeah, we was.
You're sure she didn't hang up the receiver?
Oh, I didn't think so. I think she was assured.
I'm wondering. Just what were you talking about?
Well, I was asking her about her rheumatism.
Her rheumatism? Well, she hasn't got rheumatism.
Well, I know that now. She told me.
Well, what made you think she had rheumatism?
Well, it was just something Mr. Hutchinson says that made me think so.
Something Mr. Hutchinson said? What, Tina?
Well, just last night, he says Mrs. Sherman gave him a pain in the neck.
And you told her that?
Well, sure. I just wanted to find out if it was Ketchum.
Why, Tina Torgerson. What?
And that was an original Tina and Tim skit from the early 1930s on WCCO radio. It's 23 and a half minutes before 9. We'll have honest to goodness at 9, 48 degrees.